Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. Dan and JJ here in week two. We are on Football Sunday. The Buffalo Bills will be facing the New York Jets in New Jersey. They're home because they're the New Jersey Jets. The Jets are 0-1, having lost to the Steelers last week, and the Bills are 1-0, of course, having miraculously come back against the Ravens after the Ravens pretty soundly trounced them for 3.5 quarters. Dan, where's your heart at today?
My heart is full of anxiety about this game, JJ. You know, and I think last week is the epitome of how football goes. I would argue that the Jets played a better, more sound overall game in week one across four quarters, and they got the L. The Bills put it together for one out of four quarters, and they got the W. That's how football goes. And JJ, I think regardless of records, there are some things on paper that the Jets have some clear advantages against the Bills this week, and we have not been able to say that in quite a few years. So I'm excited to get into this one, a little anxious to get into this one. I think it's going to be a tougher game than most people expect.
Yeah, I think that the things that kind of turned the Bills' defense inside out last week are the same things the Jets did against the Steelers, and the Bills can expect some heavy zone running. They can expect some kind of play action passing. It's all on the table there, and I'm sure that, you know, this is a copycat league. The Jets did not look at that Ravens film and say, oh yeah, we're not going to try any of that, right? No, they're going to try every of that. And I think that as you were talking about the way the Bills won last week, I think the thing that came to mind for me was that they were like, it was like the procrastination victory of the universe, right? Like they were like, let's put off playing a complete football game until there is no time, but we have to play every second in a perfect way. So, you know, procrastinators everywhere rejoice at that Bills comeback. But the Jets put in a kind of workmanlike job and then got taken down in the end. So, Gibson, who returned the punt against the Bills in overtime a couple of years ago in Josh Allen's three turnover game, was released because he may have blown the game against the Steelers with a fumble. And so they don't have a returner. And that's an interesting wrinkle.
It is, especially with the way kick and punt returns have been factoring in largely, at least here, week one in the football season. I mean, JJ, there's a ton that we can talk about this game. Special teams, defense, offense. Where do you want to start?
Let's go ahead and get started in the weakest. let's do the hardest work first, which is the Bills defense. Scott. Yeah, the Bills defense versus this Jets offense. And I think that for me, kind of my overall general concept is that the Jets are like a Diet Coke version of the Ravens offense in a lot of ways, in that their running back is not Derrick Henry, but Breece Hall is very good. Their quarterback is not Lamar Jackson, but Justin Fields looked very good, including passing the ball, which has never been his kind of strong point. He looked like he, you know, had some things together. That Aaron Glenn's influence has been good, that their offensive coordinator's influence has been good. So it's going to be interesting. I think that for me, again, the kind of front to back, I with Ed Oliver being out, the defensive line needs to absolutely step up to cover his absence. And the linebackers, this is a redemption game for Bernard and Milano. They got absolutely washed out last week. They were not making any kind of impact plays. They could be counted on for a tackle here or there when they were in the right place, but nothing like we have seen from both of them throughout their career.
Yeah. And it's going to take a village, which sounds like such a cliche, but to stop a run game as complete as the Ravens and as modern and complete as the Jets run game looks like, at least after 1 week, it's going to take everybody. I mean, JJ, I think that stuck out to me the most watching the Jets and then rewatching that game is how modern the offense looked. I mean, condensed sets, they ran out 12 personnel on about a third of their offensive snaps, which was double the rate that they ran at last year. And they were very effective out of it, particularly running Breece Hall to the left side of that offensive line toward Olu Fashanu and John Simpson. 16 of his 19 attempts headed that way, 5.8 yards per carry. I mean, they have found a recipe for success. And in a lot of those condensed 12 personnel sets, the Steelers chose to blitz Justin Fields. And to your point earlier, they had answers. Tanner Engstrom, the new offensive coordinator for the Jets, had answers for Fields in that blitz game. He was 5-6 against man blitzes, 72.7% completion rate overall. And he was able to buy time with his feet, time to throw over 3.5 seconds. But when you've got a mobile quarterback like that, that can chuck it and run, or can buy time by moving the pocket, this is a recipe that has consistently confounded the Bills defense, even when they're healthy, even when they've got all their guys in. This has been a formula that the Bills defense has really struggled against. I'm looking for a couple of things here. You mentioned the linebackers, JJ, but when teams run out a lot of those condensed formats, like the Jets plan to do, I would assume today, it's also about the DBs. DBs are drawn in closer to the line of scrimmage, and we're just going to have to see better run fits from guys like Cole Bishop, Taylor Rapp, who just took some horrible angles in that Baltimore Ravens game. And then Dorian Strong, you know, Benford's going to be there on his assignment in run defense, but then you've got three unknowns in the defensive backfield that I think are going to also have to step up today too.
Yeah, I think that I just was pulling up the PFF, you know, I know that we talk about PFF rankings not being the be all end all, but they're certainly a good place to start the conversation. Terrell Bernard and Matt Milano were the 58th. They're tied, exactly tied for 58th out of 61 graded linebackers.
They were equally bad.
Yep. They were equally two of the most terrible people playing football last week, according to this one site. And then also Taylor Rapp was the absolute worst safety playing in NFL football last weekend, according to this rating site. And then we have TJ Sanders, who has a rating so low it's not even charted. So wasn't looking great across the board. Let's hope that a week of experience under the belts of TJ Sanders and Deion Jones improves their defense. But you're absolutely right. I think that the Jets' offensive line looks much improved. Armon Membu, if somebody can get past him, it's got to be Joey Bosa, because I just don't think that he is such a talented looking rookie that I'm happy for our, you know, I'm happy for Jared that it seems like the Jets hit on that one, because, you know, it's such a relief to have a solid starting tackle in the draft. But for the Bills fans who want to see a sack party, I don't know. Justin Fields is an incredibly sackable quarterback.
He is. And, you know, we talked about the strength of that offensive line in the run game. But in the pass game, Justin Fields faced 16 pressures last week against Pittsburgh. 15 of them came off that very same left side of the offensive line. So as good as they looked and mauling in the run game last week, JJ, they can be had in obvious passing down situations. And the Bills, I mean, the struggle is not going to be third down, hopefully, if the Bills can get it to 3rd and 5 and 3rd and 7 and getting some passing sets. The struggle is going to be 1st and 2nd down and trying to keep this Jets run game off schedule. That's where it's going to be. Because if you can switch that left side of the offensive line into pass pro mode, that's where you've got some advantage with a lot of your natural penetrators and Rousseau and Bosa and Sanders. And let's not forget Deion Walker too. He's a big bodied dude, but his ability to move and gain penetration factors more for me into the pass game this week than it does into the run defense game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that has to be the right script to play. You have to, the Bills cannot just screw around for the first three quarters and hope that this is going to turn out okay. They have to do what the Jets were trying to do to the Steelers and effectively, and that's control the game script. That is, keep your offense on the field, long sustained drives, score 7 on every of your possessions that you can, and then force a few turnovers from the Jets, not in terms of, you know, interceptions, fumbles, but rather making sure that they're punting and not having the same long sustained clock eating drives with ending in 7. I think you're absolutely right, and that is the place that they need to apply the pressure to, is in dialing up some exotic things, because that's one of the things about Justin Fields, is that he was one of the most efficient passers last week, but it was very much second reaction plays. It was never his, like, kind of, it wasn't a Tua game. It was closer to a Lamar Jackson type game where, you know, he was not just hitting his back foot and zipping it. It was, you know, hitting his back foot, kind of scrambling around a little bit, and then finding somebody open. Often Garrett Wilson, who we know is exactly that guy. And so it's going to be interesting, and I hope that the Bills can get some things done, because what we saw in preseason and what we've seen in the first week so far is that the Bills are willing to go man, and they're willing to blitz a little bit more. And I think that, you know, they blitzed something like 37% of the time or whatever against the Ravens, and they may need to do the same. And I think it's going to be more effective against Justin Fields if a few people can win their individual matchups in that front seven.
That's what it's about, man. It's about winning those one-on-one matchups, but then also the back end of the defense staying sticky in coverage and winning their matchups too. There's been a lot of talk. You bring up Garrett Wilson. There's been a lot of talk about, Christian Benford and how he was targeted almost mercilessly by Lamar last week. I mean, Lamar went after Benford on 33% of his dropbacks. Benford allowed a passer rating of 150.9. For those of you unfamiliar with passer rating, perfect rating is 153.8. So Lamar was damn near perfect targeting Benford. He gave up two TDs and a completion percentage above expectation of 12.4%, according to NFL Next Gen Stats. But he was sticky in coverage. Brentford forced 42% tight window throws when he was in man coverage, and he only allowed about 2 yards of separation. To me, to your point, JJ, if the Bills are going to choose to play man, I do not know that Justin Fields has yet shown me enough in his development as a passer that he can maximize those tight window throws. So I do think if the Bills have to dial up some more exotic packages, if they are going to run more man blitzes, I think they will be more successful than the Steelers were. Because remember, the Steelers were without Joey Porter Jr. for a large stretch of this game, and they lost, I think, both of their starting safeties. So not to take away from anything that we saw from Justin Fields last week, but he was playing against second unit guys, and that's in that Pittsburgh secondary for a large extent. I think if Benford can stay sticky like he did against the Ravens, he's just going to naturally see more success, because the ball placement for Fields is not going to be as surgical as it was for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that kind of harkens back to when I said that they're going against the diet duo of, you know, Jackson and Henry with Fields and Hall. And I think that hopefully that is a way that these Bills can, and we talked about it so much pre-game, post-game, that the Ravens are a team that is absolutely built to hurt the Bills in the ways that they can be hurt the most. The Jets are trying to build that team. They just may be a little bit early in their build in terms of putting it all together. And the QB is such a question mark in this game. Yeah, I think that, you know, if it comes down to a Justin Fields versus Josh Allen shootout, I like our guy. Whereas I'm not as confident when it's just, you know, when it's Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson in a shootout, because of those reasons. They're both supremely talented.
I know. The Ravens are like that ex-girlfriend that just knows how to hurt you. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yeah.
Grabs your biggest insecurity and just...
Exactly. They know exactly what your deepest fear is, and they know how to exploit it. That's the Ravens for these Bills, right? The Jets, again, and this is a credit to Aaron Glenn. This is a credit to that new regime in New York. And notice that I'm saying New York and not New Jersey, because even after week one, I've got a kind of a new respect for how this Jets team wants to operate now. But they are very clear-eyed that they need to win the division. There is a very clear blueprint that the Bills have established for how they want to build their team, how they want to run their team, and then the personnel they want to put on the field. And this coaching staff and this personnel office for the Jets, they are starting to build out what looks like the early versions of something that is going to challenge the Bills. And listen, the Bills are going to get the absolute best shot from the Jets. This is no shade of the Jets. This is going to be the Jets Super Bowl, this week two matchup here in New Jersey. And I think this offense in particular is going to come to play, and not just play, but repeat and to a large extent a lot of the physical performance winning one-on-one matchups that did them so well against Pittsburgh. I mean, dude, you mentioned Membu. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw a stat come across my social media accounts that said that Membu's time to pressure allowed was 3.8 seconds. He was Justin Fields could have had a lunch in the pocket on Membu's side of the field at 3.8 seconds. That is an eternity to keep pressure off of your quarterback. So I think they're going to want to come and play physical. And, you know, man, after the physicality and the emotion and the way the Bills won week one, I don't want to say it because I'm always wrong about these things, but this is feeling a little bit like a trap game, another physical game that I don't know if the Bills are up for yet.
I'm worried about it too. And I think that, you know, it's interesting you say, you know, Armand Membu is, it's like they have to cut a canal across Armand Membu to just, because transversing the bottom or top coast of his island is too long. Like, if we're going to get in nautical terms, homie is 6'4", 332 pounds. Like, dude, he's a giant man.
He's a geographic mess in and of himself.
Okay. He's got 9 3/4 inch wide hands, each of them. Right. And then he's got 33.5 inch arms. So he's just this giant man. Yeah. It's like his, you know, somebody that big who can throw, 225 pounds up 31 times is going to really cause you problems on the edge.
Yeah. I mean, he made TJ Watt look washed in that game. Yeah. Yeah.
And so hopefully our guy who's also potentially washed doesn't look as washed.
Hopefully not. Yeah. Hopefully not. Bosa had some nice recovery there. Yes. And you know, I've got a sneaking suspicion too, that in obvious passing downs, I think we're going to see Rousseau matched up a little bit more on Membu, just because from a measurable standpoint, I think he offers Membu a little bit of a tougher matchup than Bosa.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because he's been more traditionally, he's a slipperier rusher than Bosa is in some regards, where Bosa is pure power. And so I think that they're going to try to line Bosa up in the weakest spot, because that's where he can make the most damage.
Absolutely. Yeah. Without a doubt. All right, JJ, any final thoughts here on this MASH unit Bills defense we're rolling out there? Or do you want to switch to the JA-17 side of the ball?
Let's get to the part that makes me feel a little bit more better. Yeah. Let's get to the thing that is going to absolve me of the anxiety I have.
Let's do it.
Because Josh freaking Allen, dude, like, it didn't matter that they played 3.5 quarters of terrible football and the defense gave up every yard that they, you know, that the Ravens wanted. At the end of the day, Josh freaking Allen and some other heroes emerged. James Cook, Keon Coleman, you know, Josh Palmer to some extent, Elijah Moore a little bit, right? Like, there was some bright shining stars of hope on that offense that made me believe they can get this thing done again. Now, my question is to you, I'll start here. If we're going to go from planning all the way down to execution, what do you think about the plan? Is it all whip screens all day because the Jets know that they can funnel those plays?
No. And I'm really hoping we get away from some of this behind the line of scrimmage, throws at the line of scrimmage stuff that, you know, the Bills were rolling out there in week one. And to me, it wasn't necessarily surrender, but it was, to me, a clear acknowledgement early in the game that Joe Brady was like, I don't know if we've got the horses to win downfield against this secondary, right? So he went out and he did some stuff that he thought was going to put his team in the best possible position to attack the very limited weaknesses of this Baltimore Ravens defense. But we saw very early on, especially with Josh, Josh's average yards per attempt in the first half versus the second half, 4.4 yards, average air yards per attempt in the first half, 12.1 yards in the second half. I think when they saw that Jaire Alexander was not yet 100%, they felt good about targeting him. And there is a similar juicy target in one Brandon Stevens on the other side of the ball that I think should give the Bills and Joe Brady and Josh Allen some confidence in attacking downfield early on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's probably where I would start as well, is the downfield passing attack has to be the thing that they hang their hat on this week, because you have some players in that secondary who are kind of questionable. You pointed out Brandon Stevens, who used to play for the Ravens and was somebody that the Bills had success targeting in the past as well. And really that second and third level is the place for it. You know, outside of Sauce Gardner, they do not have great coverage players. Andre Sisco is way more of a downhill thumper. They've got Tony Adams, who has always been kind of questionable for me, and his defense grade is abysmal, with his coverage grade even lower. So I think that they have a chance against these linebackers. They have lighter, faster, kind of more athletic linebackers, kind of in the vein of the Bills, which is an advantage the Bills had over the Ravens a little bit, because they have heavier, traditional, old-school linebackers. But these Jets linebackers are not, you know, they're not experts in coverage. I think that our guys are a little bit better at that. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the Bills target those linebackers on the second level, because in the first level, you know, everybody knows who Quinnen Williams is at this point. The Jets picked up Harrison, or traded for Harrison Phillips. So they have a former Bill in the middle. He's kind of their weakest link on the line, because Jermaine Johnson and Will McDonald both look like the real deal, being top of the first round edge rushers that they're leaning on now. So, yeah, I think that there's some places to target in the secondary, but you have to go pretty deep. You have to have time. That's going to be the biggest problem, because this Jets pass rush looks legitimate with the front four.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, you know, James Cook, as we say every week, is going to have to factor in big and keeping defenses honest. Now, I will say this Jets defense, for everything that we've seen about the adjustments that they have made, the personnel that they have, this is still a defense that struggles against running backs catching the ball out of the backfield. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that you mentioned the questions they have at the second and third level of their defense. So I think Cook factors in big into the pass catch game here, keeping the Jets offense honest, drawing more guys into the box to create advantages downfield as well. I want to see the play action game factored here too. And again, I know when you're rolling out a pass rush as ferocious as the Jets have, you are hesitant to have your QB turn his back to the line of scrimmage. But at the end of the day, and this has been a gripe I have had, the only limited minor gripe I've had about the Joe Brady offense is that you've got arguably the best play action quarterback in the league under center in Josh Allen, and you are not mashing that play action button with the elite level that you have hit with this run game as well. So I want to see a little bit more play action. I want to see the Bills dictate the terms of engagement more on offense than they did against the Ravens in that first half, because JJ, it's all going to come down to game script. If the Buffalo Bills offense, and I feel like we say this all the time, but if the offense can get a 2-score lead, get a 17-point lead, you basically take the run game for the Jets out of the equation and you make Justin Fields a full-time passer. And that's where you can put your defense in an advantageous position to take advantage of a still developing QB who is finding his way in a brand new offensive scheme.
Yep, absolutely. And I think too that the, you know, I agree completely with play action. I think that that is absolutely one way to attack. I think taking advantage of these defensive ends being really young and really aggressive and getting the screen game to running backs utilized a little bit can also be a tool you can kind of deploy. But yeah, I it's so frustrating, because I agree with you. We see the game the same way on offense for the Bills and have for a little while, that Josh Allen is exceptional at play action. And yet Joe Brady, over his career calling games, does it like less than 7% of times. Really kind of getting into that some more. I think it was 3% against the Ravens, and all of those plays that they did play action, Josh was successfully finding people on. So lean into that more for sure. I think targeting the, you know, it's weird to say, but trying to run at, you know, straight up the gut at the nose tackle, Harrison Phillips might be the way to go if you can get some movement, because we got, you know, Osiris Torrance, Connor McGovern are not small guys. David Edwards, not a small guy. If you can get some movement there on the side opposite Williams, who the Jets now, unlike the Robert Saleh Jets, they put Quinnen Williams. There's no way. You can't manipulate where they're going to line him up on the line like you could against Saleh. Against Saleh, it was like, oh, if we just go heavy to this side, we know Quinnen Williams is going to be on the weak, you know, weak side without tight end help. And that was much easier because it was just like, well, we can kind of figure out by our alignment where we're going to put him. Now it's like, no, they're going to use tape study to figure out where he's going to be most effective against your looks. And so the Bills can still do some of that, can still manipulate in some ways on offense, but they have to win the 3D chess match by, you know, outsmarting the Jets in that regard. And Aaron Glenn's no slouch.
No, no. This is a, I mean, you saw the difference in week one. This is an exceptionally well-coached Jets team, and we have not been able to say that for quite a few years. No, I get real trap game feels out of this, because the Bills right now, after overcoming that Ravens game, now have the highest odds in the league to start the year 7-0 before their rematch with Kansas City. And I just think, I get odds makers are very good at their jobs, but if you look at this thing on a game-to-game basis, this Jets game is a very, very early test in week two after the Bills are coming off a bruising physical and emotional matchup against a conference rival in the Ravens, too. Listen, the Bills are well coached, too. You know, we've had our issues with McDermott over the course of the last almost decade that he's been at the helm, but this is a well-coached unit, too. They really believe in the philosophy of one game at a time. And I just want to see more from them in the first half here to dictate the terms, as opposed to have the game dictated to them in the way that they did against the Ravens.
Yeah. And I think that you can, it's interesting because two years ago, the Bills played better on the road than at home. The Bills have played exceptionally well at home last year. But we'll see if we can get back to that. You know, it seemed like they had a cheat code for playing on the road. They had their stuff together. They came out faster. They played a little bit hotter in the first half, you know, and then they were doing the procrastination thing back at home last season. And so maybe we see that. Let's remember that this is the same defense that the Bills hung 40 plus on when Aaron Glenn was coaching it in Detroit last season. So it's going to be man coverage heavy, and we know what Josh Allen does to man coverage traditionally. Expect him to get some scrambles on the books. And then on top of that, they're going to blitz you. They're going to try to bring extra heat. And if you have answers dialed up for Josh Allen, we know he's fast enough to deliver them.
Without a doubt. All right, man. Anything more on the Bills offense, or do you want to get to some predictions sure to go wrong?
Let's go ahead and predict this thing.
All right. Let's start with scores. So the Bills, last I checked, were, and I want to verify this, it was either 6.5 or 7.5 point favorites. Yeah. They are 6.5 point favorites on the road. Over under for this game is 47.5 points. I took the under last week. I was wrong about that, though. I will say, and listen, you should not listen to us for betting advice. This is a non-gambling podcast, but unders last week were finished, I think, at like a 90% clip. There were only two games that finished in the over. It was, the Jets against Pittsburgh, and it was the Bills against the Ravens. That being said, this also feels like it could be another shootout just because I don't trust this Bills defense, JJ. So where are you at with final score? Because I'm still trying to figure stuff out.
Yeah, I'm going to say that the Bills are going to get hit. I think the over is going to hit, and I think it's going to be Bills 35, Jets 27.
Nice. All right. So you've got the Bills winning by, God, what's the math on that? Is that 8 points?
Yeah, just covering the spread.
Excellent. So you got the Bills covering. I think this game is going to be close. I've been like Bills win, Jets cover type of territory. And I've been back and forth on like a 37-35 final score. I will tell you, there was a point, and please, Bills Mafia, forgive me, because this is prediction sure to go wrong. I was wrong last week. And I'm tempted to pick the Jets here just to keep that good karma going of when I pick the Jets, the Bills
picking
win.
Against them. Yeah.
Yep. But I am going to go Bills 37, Jets 35. I think it's another good showing for the Jets. This JJ, this is not a team to me that deserves to start 0-2, but I've got them starting 0-2 here just because I think the Bills will have more answers on offense for this Jets attack than Justin Fields will have for the Bills if the game script goes the way they need it to go. And listen, since Joe Brady took over play calling against the Jets, margin of victory versus this squad has been in the double digits consistently, with the exception of, I think, week six last season, where, I mean, Garrett Wilson just went off in that game. Joe Brady has figured out a way to really trounce this Jets squad and run up the score on offense.
Yeah, and that's been a change too, is I think that this people say, oh, well, Josh Allen's not good against the Jets defense. That was only true until Joe Brady took over as offensive coordinator. And then Josh Allen's been quite a bit better. And part of that is establishing the run game, because I think the Jets want you to be in third and long. Like most defenses, that's where they kind of thrive. And even this year with the change in leadership, that's still it. And so I think that they have a great opportunity if they can, again, keep ahead, manage the game script. The secret that we know that it is to the Bills' success has been kind of staying ahead, forcing the other team into uncomfortable choices on offense so that, you know, they can maximize turnovers and things like that. So I'm hopeful for it. I'm looking forward to it. Do you have any prop bets for this one?
I do. You mentioned turnovers. I want to talk about Josh. We know that we know two things can be true. We know that he has been on a historic run for him relative to his own production of not turning the ball over. Didn't have a turnover against the Ravens. However, he has thrown 18 interceptions against the New York Jets over the course of his career. That is the highest amount of interceptions that any active QB has against a single team in the league right now. So I got this one for you, JJ. Over, under, half an interception for Josh Allen.
I'm going to say under, because I think that what we're seeing is MVP Josh. I think he's pretty, he looked incredibly dialed in. I think that some of the play calls did him dirty in the first game. But as we all know, he took over the end of that game and every throw was an absolute dot. So I'm going to say under interception on Josh.
Nice. All right. I'm also going to say under two, only because I trust this version of Josh. This version of Josh has proven to me to be real. If he does throw a pick, I wouldn't be surprised, because it also won't be the end of the world. Do you know what I mean? Right. Mm-hmm. But God, man, he's so good at backyard football. Like just watching him in the up-tempo moments when they were running the 4-minute, 2-minute offense for the squad, like calling his shots at the line of scrimmage. I wish the Bills would do that more. I know they got to protect this defense. I just wish they would do that more, because if I felt like they were going to go up tempo, I would easily take zero interceptions, because I just think Josh gets into a flow that I don't see a lot of other QBs get into in that mode. But yeah.
Yeah. And I know it's like, oh, we want the J gun. I think I mentioned that before on the pod.
We've talked about it a lot. Yeah,
we've talked about it a lot. And I get it. I want it. We all want it. I just don't know that modern kind of defensive and offensive football allows you to do that for a whole game. I think that's the problem, is mm-hmm. I think that they could definitely do more tempo and apply it in different parts of the game than just before half and just at the end of the game. Sprinkling in a huddle-less drive in the first quarter would be awesome.
Especially a huddle-less drive where you're already up 3 or up 7 and you got a chance to push it to double digits.
Right.
Like an awesome quick strike drive to really put the opposing team on their heels.
You tire the defense out, make them gassed for like a good long drive, and then, you know, capitalize. It's a moral victory on that one. It's demoralizing for them.
It really can be. It really can be. You got a prop?
Yeah. So mine is over under Joey Bosa half a sack.
Oh God, I don't know, man. I just
don't believe in anyone on the front line.
I don't believe in it. I just don't. It's so hard. Like they should get sacks. They got sacks last week, right? They should get sacks, especially on a guy as sackable as Fields is. But I just week in and week out, I have a hard time. I'm going to say over just because I want to be a little bit positive and. I like the adjustments Bosa made to his game. You saw like a wily power veteran do some stuff last week that I think was great. I'm going to say over, whatever.
Yeah. And I brought it up, so I'm saying over as well. I'm putting all my eggs in that basket that the Bills find somebody who can be a double digit sack person this year, just anyone. And that's my guy.
Yeah. I think I was like, no one's going to be in double digits. Rousseau's going to lead the team with 9 sacks. But yeah,
you did say that. Yeah.
I don't think I was getting in double digits on this.
I have strongly pulled back on my TJ Sanders is going to get double digit sacks after watching him against a real team in real football. I'm like, no, he's a rook.
I'm sorry. It's on the interwebs. I actually used that to advertise last week's spot. So
now I'm going to look like a fool.
It got thousands of views on our Instagram page. I'm just putting it out there. So you're either wrong epically, or you are going to be like the reason why somebody put down $100 for TJ Sanders to win that award, and they're now a millionaire.
Right. And this wasn't me. So that's going to be a fun thing. And hopefully, you know, I'm hoping he and Dion Walker both have a great showing in the next 3 weeks. And then I'm writing an apology card to Dion Walker.
Walker had some real, we haven't talked about it in the post game, because everything, rightfully so, was focused on how amazing Josh was. Walker had some really good reps against the Ravens, right? Particularly in pass rush. Was it the Lamar like just running all over the place? Well, no, it was the throw to DeAndre Hopkins, that dime that Lamar had. Walker got immediate penetration, and Lamar had no choice but to go to Hopkins on that play. But yeah. Walker factored in big time last week in a lot of the pass rush game.
Yeah, he looked solid. Yeah, I'm excited to see some more. Any other prop bets, dude?
I got no other prop bets, sir. If you're ready to wrap this thing up, put a bow on it.
Yeah, I say call it a day, and in a few hours, let's see the Bills versus Jets.
All right. For all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your pods. This is an ears-only version this week until we get our recording studios back here at our respective houses. So find us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.